Patients value doctors who know how to communicate. Today's medical schools are teaching communication skills, using people specially trained to act as patients. Starting in 2005, medical school graduates will have to perform well in this area in order to obtain a medical license. In New England, two medical schools, Tufts and Brown, are fine-tuning simulated patient cases they use to evaluate fourth-year students. Madge Kaplan of member station WGBH sat in on a recent practice test in Providence, Rhode Island.
Medical students are used to being tested on their medical knowledge.
Hello.
Mrs. Anderson?
I'm Chris.
But to do well on this test, medical knowledge alone is insufficient.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm just a little worried, but...
Chris Kleeman has just entered a make-believe exam room to talk with a make-believe patient, also called a standardized patient. She's an informed consumer who's balking at having her 15-month-old vaccinated against measles.
Well, I like to search the net and, you know, actually 2 weeks ago, a big article on Time magazine came out about this topic, and they think there might be a link between the vaccine and autism. And I am extra concerned about this. And my child had all the other vaccinations, and he's fine, but I don't see why I have to risk it. There's such a low percentage of my child to get sick, you know, with measles, so...
Kleeman is one of eight Tufts Medical School graduates helping out today. He's come to the imaginary outpatient clinic, it's actually an unused floor of a nursing home, to help teachers tweak new cases for incoming fourth-year students. Dr. Stephen Smith, Brown's Associate Dean for Medical Education, lays out the ground rules.
You'll have 12 minutes with the standardized patient. You'll have 5 minutes after you leave the room to do the evaluation of the case, and then there'll be 4 minutes of feedback. As far as equipment, the only thing you'll need, I think, is a stethoscope.
The stethoscope functions mostly as a prop, which frustrates Tafazwa Kasambira.
I found the process a bit artificial because the patients don't actually have the actual physical findings. That can be a little difficult.
True enough, but by using pretend patients, medical educators hope to focus the future doctor's attention on the person and what he or she has to say about their symptoms or fears.
Well, let's do a couple of things.
To the role play. Chris Kleeman believes in the benefits of the measles vaccine, but offers a temporary solution to the mom worried about dangerous side effects.
We'll hold off on the measles vaccine today, and I'm going to give you some reading material, and you can learn more about that vaccine, and then have you come back in a week or two, and we can discuss this further. To be honest, I have to review a lot of this material myself because I want to make sure that I'm up to date.
This sounds like a good plan to the patient, played by Cinzia Cittadino. Afterwards, she tells Kleeman she liked that he was empathetic and didn't dismiss her concerns. Kleeman says it was difficult to admit he wasn't up on the very latest with the vaccine controversy and probably knew less than she did.
You kind of feel like a fraud. You know, patients don't trust you. They see that lack of knowledge. They sense it, and you can't be a good doctor.
But Cittadino says his honesty was refreshing.
I'd rather hear the truth than a lie.
Meanwhile, fellow student Christopher Hong has a different kind of communication challenge: how to handle information and his own worst fears.
Hi, Ms. Dombrowski.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi.
The character is a 22-year-old dental receptionist who says she's run down.
I just haven't been myself. My energy has just been really, really low.
Okay.
I was out camping with my husband about 3 weeks ago, and I thought, maybe I have Lyme. I wanted to come in to get a blood test. I just feel like something's definitely not right.
And this is every day you feel this way?
Pretty much, okay. Yeah.
Hong asks a lot of questions. Is the patient under any stress? Not especially. Drinking more water than usual? Some. Taking medication? No. Could she be pregnant? She and her husband are trying. What about appetite? Pretty healthy. So when Ms. Dombrowski mentions she's lost 7 pounds in 4 weeks, Hong becomes mildly alarmed.
That's a lot of weight to lose, especially in a month, so it might be worth checking out the entire body and perhaps getting an x-ray and making sure that everything's in working order.
Okay.
All right.
Is there something you're really concerned about?
Just to make sure we cover all the bases. Mm-hmm. We just want to make sure that cancer is not an issue here.
Do you think that would be a possibility?
it's definitely a possibility. It's probably lower on the list than what it could be, but it's there. And just
by the time the 12 minutes are up, Hong has discovered Ms. Dombrowski's mother has diabetes, and that may be what the daughter has developed as well. Was he doing too much thinking out loud? When Hong and Tracy Gearing break character and evaluate the role play, she tells him she thinks so.
The thing that terrified me as a patient was the fact that you mentioned cancer.
Sure.
Without being sure. I think when you hear that as a patient, you automatically associate cancer with death. I was like, oh my God. Here I am coming in and thinking, oh, I have Lyme disease, and then hearing that I might have cancer was just so scary to me. I would just be so careful.
Hong accepts the criticism. It hadn't occurred to him that he didn't have to share everything running through his mind all at once.
Are you guys looking for us to come up with the right diagnosis? Because I missed the diabetes.
Later, sitting around a big table, the students compared notes on the cases, wondering who had figured them out. They weren't being graded, but they were really curious about the right answer. Was the patient in acute pain, experiencing an attack of appendicitis, or an ectopic pregnancy? Was the psychiatrist in search of a prescription for the painkiller Percocet really having knee pain, or was she an addict? Did the teenager who fell off his bicycle suffer a concussion? Everyone wanted more facts to go on. While getting good information was part of the exercise, Dr. Stephen Smith had to reiterate the overriding goal.
I think from our perspective, you don't need to have the facts at your fingertips. That's not the issue. The issue is how well can you deal with a patient with a very difficult situation. So the real focus is on communication skills, providing options.
After everyone had left, Dr. Smith compared the day's exercise with what's in store for medical licensing. It's very similar. Starting with the class of 2005, beginning fourth-year students will travel to 5 regional centers across the country to see and be evaluated by 10 to 14 standardized patients over the course of a day.
Up till recently, most of the licensing and testing that we've done has been purely on knowledge. And this approach is really getting beyond just knowledge, but what do the students do with the knowledge? How do they use the knowledge, and how do they interact with patients? And this is something you can't fake it. If you don't have it, you're not going to be able to do it.
Medical schools have some catching up to do if students are going to be prepared. While a majority of schools test communication skills, most still don't make the results count. For NPR News, I'm Madge Kaplan in Boston.